Preparing a priesthood. The priesthood typified. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. A key to understanding God's plan is recognizing that there are two distinct ages of redemption: the present gospel age with its heavenly calling, and the approaching millennial kingdom with its earthly hope. In each of these two ages of redemption, those called are reconciled to God by the work of a priest or priesthood, bringing the called ones to God and cleansing them from the propensity for sin. In the present gospel age, Jesus serves as our priest in glory. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Jesus serves as an intercessor on our behalf. He provides us with redemption from the Adamic curse and assists us in overcoming the influence of sin, cleansing our hearts and intentions, and walking more uprightly after godly principles. In the approaching millennial kingdom, Jesus will serve as high priest for mankind also. But at that time, the saints developed during the gospel age will be with him to help reconcile the world to God, serving as priests on behalf of God and of Christ. They will assist the world of mankind, cleanse their hearts and intentions, follow godly principles, and walk up the highway of holiness. Individuals will achieve human perfection and everlasting life if they follow this course. Preparing the tabernacle. The last chapters of Exodus specify how the tabernacle of Israel was to be constructed. The account begins with chapter 36. Bezaleel and Aholiab, together with other assistants, received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary, and all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary brought their contributed articles, so much that they had much more than enough. Exodus chapter 36, verses 2 through 5. Whereupon Moses announced that the contributions of the people sufficed. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Verses 6 and 7. What a kind-hearted and cooperative spirit the Israelites showed in constructing the place of worship for God. The work proceeded as described in the remainder of Exodus chapters 36, 37, 38, through 39, verse 31. Thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished. Exodus chapter 39, verse 32. In verse 33, the articles were brought to Moses for inspection. In verse 43, Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. However, before assembling the parts to construct the tabernacle itself, God told Moses to wait until the first day of the first month, when they would then set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. Exodus chapter 40, verse 2. So it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. Exodus chapter 40, verse 17. Perhaps God had them wait for the first day of a new year to represent the beginning of a new age in God's plan. In this case, the first age of redemption, the gospel age. Something like this also appears in Genesis chapter 8, verse 13, when at the close of the flood, Noah saw that the waters were dried up from off the earth. The waters that had removed the ungodly were now gone, suggesting the time when the curse of death on mankind will come to a close when the kingdom is introduced. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 13, this also happened on the first month, the first day of the month, beginning a new year. Thus, in each case, the first day of the new year points to the opening of a new age of blessing and redemption. Exodus chapter 40, verses 18 through 38, then describes the setting up of the tabernacle, ready for service. However, something vital was necessary, namely, directions respecting the offerings to be given and the preparation of a priesthood to administer them. Leviticus. Those directions follow next in the book of Leviticus. The first 7 chapters of Leviticus describe the offerings to be rendered in the tabernacle. There were 3 basic kinds of offerings. 1. Burnt offerings to provide atonement. 2. Peace offerings, voluntary offerings brought by Israelites to express their appreciation for the peace brought by atonement. 3. Sin offerings to cover the unintentional sins of Israelites. Trespass offerings were a form of sin offering, requiring more of the offerer because more culpability was involved. So with us now and mankind in the kingdom, we first appreciate the gift of atonement. Then we yield ourselves to the service of God. Thereafter, we receive cleansing from unintentional sins as they arise and correction for more culpable sins as we seek to walk more cleanly in the narrow way. This process will apply also to mankind later in their progress up the highway of holiness in the kingdom. Consecration of the priesthood. The regulations for these offerings are completed at the close of Leviticus chapter 7. But one more thing is necessary for the tabernacle to function: a priesthood to manage the offerings. The process of preparing the priesthood is described in Leviticus chapter 8. Aaron would be installed as high priest and his sons as underpriests. Aaron represents Jesus, who was prepared for 3.5 years of his ministry to become our high priest in glory after his ascension. His sons, developed as underpriests, represent the church class developed in the gospel age to be priests of God and of Christ, to reconcile mankind to God during the millennial kingdom. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. The first offering was a bullock for the sin offering, Leviticus chapter 8, verse 2. This represents the sacrifice of Jesus during his 3.5 years of ministry, preparing him to be our high priest. The bullock's life represents the life of Jesus, which provides redemption for those who follow. In verse 6, Aaron and his sons were washed with water. Aaron himself was imperfect, as we all are, but being first washed with water made him a better representation of the sinless Jesus. The washing of his sons may be referred to in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, the washing of the water by the word, the washing of water by the word, and in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, the washing of regeneration. Aaron was adorned with his robes of service and anointed with oil, representing the Holy Spirit. In verse 13, Aaron's sons were likewise adorned with their robes of service. In verse 14, the bullock of the sin offering was presented before them. Aaron and each of his sons laid their hands upon the head of the bullock for the sin offering, to suggest that their sins would be borne by the bullock. Jesus, of course, had no sin, but for Aaron to represent Jesus, the imperfect Aaron had his sins covered as well. In verse 18, the ram of burnt offering was presented. Again, the hands of the priests were laid upon it, and in verses 19 and 20, it was offered and consumed. If the bullock represented Jesus' 3.5 years of service, perhaps the ram following is, more specifically, the final yielding of his life at the close of his ministry. In verse 22 and forward appears a second ram, the ram of consecration. The hands of the priests were laid on this animal to express their identification with it. The ram of consecration was a peace offering, representing the consecration of Jesus and the church in their lives of sacrifice. In verse 23, some of this offering's blood was placed on the right ear, right thumb, and right big toe of Aaron, suggesting his dedication and those serving under him to hear, work, and walk in God's ways. In verse 26, a cake of unleavened bread, another prepared with oil, and a wafer were taken from a basket. These represent that Jesus and the church would be sinless, anointed with the Spirit of God, and anticipate a heavenly position of glory. These three items, together with the fat, zeal, from the offering, and the right shoulder, earnest effort of service, were waved before God until relieved by Moses, as Jesus and the church offer themselves to God until our service here is closed. Verse 33 says that this ceremony of dedication continued for 7 days. Ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation in 7 days, until the days of your consecration be at an end. For 7 days shall he consecrate you. Evidently, these picture the 7 periods of the gospel age, the 7 churches of Revelation 2 and 3. Ezekiel 44. In Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48 appears a 9-chapter vision of the millennial kingdom, closing the book of Ezekiel. In chapter 44, we have mention of the priesthood, picturing the overcoming church serving as priests for mankind in the kingdom. Verse 15 says, "The priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me. And they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. These shall minister in God's sanctuary, the heavenly realm." Preceding this, in Ezekiel chapter 44, verses 10 and 11, Levites who had not been as faithful are mentioned. They would be recovered and receive some supporting service in the temple. "The Levites that are gone away far from me when Israel went astray, they shall even bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having charge at the gates of my house, and ministering to the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and minister unto them." These seem to represent the great company class, who will be recovered and given service in his heavenly temple. Revelation chapter 7, verse 15. Having charge of the gates perhaps connects to Revelation chapter 21, verses 12 and 27, where angels monitor each gate of New Jerusalem to see that only repentant ones enter in. That these Levites will be ministers in my sanctuary suggests that they will be in heavenly glory. Thus, Christ and the church will serve as priests for mankind in the kingdom. From their heavenly glory, they will reconcile people to God and bring everlasting blessings to mankind.